This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Mother Nature, you are nasty. Bunch of tornadoes, bunch of hail, a lot of people fighting back Mother Nature. Plus, those that are vaccinated and those that are not, the war continues. But the restrictions are rolling back, and the New York subways are rolling out 24/7. The world has opened up. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope you are well and kicked off the week in style, or at least had a good day. So, let's talk first about the weather. The weather might have affected your mood. It might have affected what was happening in your backyard. As I say, it is the buzz in the land, right? What's happening where you are? What's happening where I am? And I didn't see flying trees, but I know there were people around me that did see them. You know, when the weather takes over everything from Wheel of Fortune on, you know it's pretty bad. Because a lot of people aren't happy when you interrupt their regularly scheduled programs. So severe weather, including a tornado in the Atlanta area, and it was a big, bad one, roared across the South late on Monday. Multiple twisters all over Mississippi, and we're talking about those giant clouds that are ominous, that you see them coming towards you, and I don't know how these storm chasers do it, where they go toward the clouds, because they've just got to get that shot. But they get the shot, and then you see the shot, and you're in awe. You can't believe it. About 100 million people from New Mexico to Delaware at risk of some form of not just bad weather. Like, you just heard that simulated storm there, and that's what they heard times 10. It was that bad. So more storms expected on Tuesday, so beware. Greatest risk, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, and that means hail, serious flooding, downpours, tornadoes, straight line wind gusts. I hate those because they're just as evil in a different way as tornadoes, up to 75 miles an hour. And Monday morning, a tornado warning had been issued for parts of the Atlanta metro area. And that's why I say people want better warning systems, but there's only so much you can do. So they did say that, but it actually expired after the storm went through that area. But it looked worse than what they're classifying it as. It was an EF1 tornado, and I mean right through Atlanta. Trees killed one poor man who was sitting in an SUV. And there was somebody else that died after a tree fell onto her house in Georgia as well, and then there was, or actually in Houston County, I should say, so in central Georgia. So nasty, nasty stuff. Even in West Virginia, Jefferson County Communications Supervisor James Hayden said one person was injured when a possible tornado touched down at a lumber company. The injury, luckily, was minor, and the person was treated at the scene. But what happened was, you're really close to a lumber shed and it collapses. That could have been far worse, because think about if that had got whipped up into a tornado, what does the lumber become? And trust me, I know what I'm talking about, because it would be the day when this weather comes through that finally I have the work that I need done on the outside of the house, and there's people crawling all over the roof. They had to get off the roof. We had lightning. They're frantically wrapping up the lumber, because what does that become? That becomes a weapon. But we dodged the tornado, did have high winds, and this was in the south, of course, and that's where our satellite facility is. So severe thunderstorms, there's isolated tornadoes, and every time I see this kind of weather, I think of, I know this is silly, but I think of getting out of school, and one of my first jobs was in a place called Kearney, Nebraska. And when I was in Kearney, Nebraska, and they knew I was from the East, and the people were the greatest, they kept warning me about tornadoes, and said, you know, you're not from here, so be careful. If you hear a siren, it's serious. Take it seriously and take cover. And I'm thinking, what cover? I'm in an apartment. They said, well, get in the tub. And sure enough, there were three times when I got in a tub and tried to pull a mattress on top of myself. If I only had pictures of that, it was really, really scary. And that's when I was introduced to tornadoes. And some of you listening to this, you totally get it because you live in Tornado Alley. You're in parts of Mississippi and Alabama and Oklahoma and Texas where it can be commonplace, right? But now it seems like they can crop up almost anywhere. Some of the larger metro areas, St. Louis, Indianapolis, all that kind of stuff, mostly there this time around, it wasn't tornadoes. It was mostly terrible lightning storms and thunder and, you know, all that. Here's what you just have to know. I saw this quote from somebody in a place in Mississippi called Terry, Mississippi, where the quote was, I opened the door, I saw trees flying. The smell of pine is thick on Walker Road. Exactly what I'm talking about. Where they know it, everything is demolished. Everything is demolished in its path. Wow. All right, I think the other big thing, if you weren't anywhere near this storm, you don't have power out, you're not dealing with any of that, and you're listening to the show on the West Coast or someplace else in the East Coast, etc., one of the things, or you're on some coastline, one of the things that's being talked about is that the president is saying he's going to raise the refugee cap to 62,500, but is saying the U.S. is not going to be able to meet the new number. So what does that mean? It means they're going to allow that many refugees to resettle in the United States this year, but that reverses course after the White House initially said it would keep that low Trump-era limit on those fleeing war, violence, persecution. But the president made the announcement after there was this big political backlash from human rights groups and Democrats in Congress over an earlier plan to limit refugees to 15,000. That was the number that was set by the former president, Donald Trump. So you go from 15,000 to 62,500. So that, I mean, low, you're way past low. And he said in a statement, because originally they were keeping that, he said in a statement that America values as a nation, one of our values is we welcome and support refugees. Some of you picked up on this, and coming up this hour, we're going to our mailbag, and I'm going to let you hear what some of the people had to say about the refugees and what happens once they're in, et cetera. And it's kind of a yin and a yang. Some of you are like, yeah, my family did it. We got to figure out a way. We got to figure out a way to embrace the refugee situation. Tell you what, there's a lot of them that are in limbo, so they got to move quickly, whatever is happening here. Hang with us. We'll meet you on the flip side.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over over the world with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Opening up, and I feel a friendly buzz afoot. I just traveled. I've talked about that a little bit. And every place I went, whether it was in the airport, whether it was going through TSA, whether it was just rolling past complete strangers on a beach, walking to a pier, walking through a park, going to get coffee, sitting alone in a cafe, wherever I was, people wanted to talk. Granted, I am a friendly sort and approachable, but I think just in general, I'm saying this, that we are tired and sick and weary of that whole lockdown, of not being able to go and listen to live music, of not being able to go and tilt a few back, whether it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic with pals in whatever form, whether it's lunch or it's after work or what it might be. And the good news is that we're seeing that things really are opening up. States are rolling back some of the harshest restrictions, including in Florida, where I just came from. The governor there, Governor DeSantis, who at times has been under fire for some of what he's done throughout this pandemic, he says immediately, we're suspending any COVID-19 related emergency orders, period, done. It's done for us here in Florida. On Monday, governors from New York and New Jersey said their states would, on May 19th, lift most capacity restrictions at places of business. People are listening to us in the great state of Connecticut. Connecticut ended many capacity restrictions and announced in April they would end all restrictions on businesses starting on May 19th, except for indoor masking requirements. Connecticut became the first state in the United States to have 50% of its adults fully vaccinated. Now, this data is from the CDC. So, first one to do that, but they're lifting, 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 and we're seeing this in so many places. Outdoor, indoor, gathering limits are being adjusted. Cuomo, the governor of New York, has said that Broadway theaters, museums, offices, retailers can now make their own decisions on reopening plans. I mean, I think that's the key there. It depends on what kind of a business it is and how they feel about whether they're completely reopening across the board. And there is, of course, always that caveat that we need to continue to follow public health guidance and we need to push the vaccine while everyone is crossing their fingers that no new strains emerge to undo all the work that's already been done. And with the understanding that restrictions might need to be tightened if we see it starts to get out of control again. And the answer to that is because we don't know 100% what to expect. It's just one of those situations where, and I say this all the time, right? What is 100%? There is nothing in life that's 100%. I wish I could get on here and scream that statistic about lots of different things I've talked about. So we already know that. But especially with the uncertainty of the variants and all of that. So there still may be the masks and crowded settings and social distancing. Like I said, DeSantis in Florida says, boom, that's it for us. We're not doing it. He said, I think folks that are saying they need to be policing people at this point, if you're saying that, you're really saying you don't believe in the vaccines. You don't believe in the data. You don't believe in the science. So he really hit that hard. Like, hey, I'm going all in. If you say the vaccine is a thing and you're not getting the vaccine, it's on you, brother. That's it, because this is the Sunshine State, and we are wide open. We are wide open. But I think to the point of wanting to have human interaction, it is out there absolutely 100% across the board. That's your 100%, because people do want to be out. They want to be, I think most people want to be social in some sense. So where are we with numbers? You heard what I said about Connecticut. 147.5 million have been vaccinated. So what does that equate to? 55.2% of the eligible population, 16 and older, 44.4% of the total population. In looking at the reopening, that's a big thing to have the 24/7, to have the subways in New York City rolling. It's funny because I read a great piece, a column in the Washington Post. It was exactly what I was thinking a couple of days ago. Will the pandemic make us nicer people? And the column says, probably not. That was the conclusion of Roxanne Roberts. That probably not, but it might change us in other ways, which I agree with her. It might change us in other ways. I saw what happened in 9/11 because I was there in New York, and it was scary. And it was awful. People were missing. People were crying in the streets. People were running across bridges. You know it. You saw, if you weren't there, you felt like you were there because you saw the scenes. And I was in the middle of that. And I saw that these tough New Yorkers that sometimes I think get a bad rap couldn't have been nicer for a very long time. And as you got further away from 9/11, a little bit of the New York attitude started to creep back in, I think, right? But I think one thing that will happen is maybe people won't be quite as judgmental or reactive, maybe, and less concerned, and this to me would be a key thing, of what people think. If you think of the flu pandemic of 1918 and 1919, I said this at the start of the pandemic, I had no idea, but I had a great-great-grandmother who died in that pandemic. I didn't even know I had a relative that died in Philadelphia as a result of that. And I only found out because it was casually dropped to me that, oh, yeah, you had a great-great-grandmother. I never even knew who it was. I still am trying to track down that family because my, I guess it was great-grandmother because it would be my grandmother who was 7 months old when it happened. So she lost her mother, and my aunt was seven, my great aunt, and I didn't even know I had this side of the family. So we just move on. That's what happened. Move on, and he remarried. My great grandfather remarried, and that was that. And that's what they did. They made sense of it. There was compelling stories. There was a whole different life coming out of that pandemic called the Roaring Twenties. That was the great rebound. A lot of scholars are saying the Roaring Twenties is really, they consider the pandemic a big factor in the rush to seize the day, carpe diem, defy your fear and death, whether you were doing it consciously or unconsciously, that it was about experience and moving forward. And certainly the 1918 flu did end up changing some public health policies, and there was some reform. But really it wasn't discussed like the pandemic was this time around outside of scientific circles. This pandemic is probably a little bit different, I think, right? Because of the internet, because of the world being so affected by it and connected through the internet, that this is global, not just local, that it felt more that way than ever because of what is still happening to other people. Look what's happening in India. It's atrocious. All right, you had some thoughts on that and the refugees, that number being increased. We're going to the mailbag next.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A suspected armed intruder was shot Monday evening outside the headquarters of the CIA. The FBI says the suspect was stopped by guards near the main entrance when he exited his vehicle with a weapon and was shot by FBI agents. The suspect was wounded and hospitalized for his injuries. Officials say the suspect did not make it onto the grounds of the CIA compound, and his motives remain under investigation. And Florida's governor has signed a law allowing him to lift all local COVID restrictions beginning this summer. Governor Ron DeSantis signed the legislation that allows the state to cancel remaining restrictions, like mask mandates and capacity limits on businesses that communities have in place starting on July 1st. DeSantis also signed an executive order to immediately abolish those restrictions before the law even goes into effect. You're listening to USA Radio News. The latest data from the CDC shows that 44% of Americans have received at least one dose of COVID vaccine, with nearly 32% of all adults fully vaccinated. Health experts have said that that number would need to be between 70 and 80% for the nation to reach a herd immunity against the virus. But it may not be necessary to reach that level to be able to return to pre-pandemic life. Dr. Ashish Jha says that he believes we can reach herd immunity, but the dean of Brown University's School of Public Health tells CNBC that current efforts should still be able to drive infections down to a manageable level.
First, I do think that we can get there. Again, we just got to keep vaccinating, and I know that a lot of people are unsure, but if we get people off the fence and get vaccinated, I think we can get there. Second is, we don't have to get to herd immunity to get much of our lives back. Even if we get into the 60s and 70s in terms of vaccinations, I think it's going to make a massive difference. Infection numbers, we're going to plummet, maybe even earlier than that. So it'd be great to get to herd immunity, but I'm okay if we don't.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Dig very deep to find out your thoughts on what Biden announced as far as moving the refugee number to a lot higher after initially kind of staying in that Bush number of, not Bush number, the Trump number of 15,000 and a little bit, 15,000 plus, we're going to call it. So I'm going to rattle off a couple of those that I dug up, and then a few other things that we're going to talk about, too, including the divorce of Bill and Melinda Gates. 27-year marriage, poof, $130 billion fortune, I guess, hangs in the balance. Somehow this is like Alertville all over the place. Are we shocked by this? Is this, like, incredible news? It was everywhere. I mean, doesn't matter what kind of site you looked at, doesn't matter where you were. I guarantee you heard this news somewhere. Well, unless you just completely zone out and you don't tune into anything during the day at all. You might not have known that, and this is the first time you've heard that. I just released that information. But it's interesting, the effect of the Gates divorcing on so many people and what they talk about with their fortune and what does that mean for their charities and all that other stuff, which, by the way, they're, I'm sure, are going to still run that foundation, and that's what they're saying. They released the same exact statement about trying to work on the relationship and moving forward and please give them space and yada, 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 yada. All right, so let's jump to this one. This one is from Jock, who is listening to us in West Virginia. And he says, Kate, I was listening to the number of refugees that are going, and maybe they're, I guess, stuck in this bizarre situation from what it sounds like of somewhat limbo, but pretty tricky when you talk about moving from a lower number to a number that is 3 and 4 times what initially the previous president had set. How are we going through all of this? As I understand it, there's already so many problems with in between, with migrant families separated, all that other sort of stuff, kids that have come across now. I mean, for goodness sake, how do we handle all of this? I can't imagine that we just have an unending supply of Border Patrol or customs or welfare people or court people to deal and judges to deal with all of this. Yeah, the whole legalization thing is very tricky. And there's a couple of different aspects to it, right? Because we're talking about a few different, if you will, for lack of a better way to put this, buckets. In March, you had border agents that had about 19,000 kids at the border. They encountered them. It was the largest number ever recorded in a single month, and they were getting out of violence and poverty in Central America. Now, those numbers have dropped, but we got a crisis going on there. I mean, a serious crisis. And then you've got the other side of it, because I think that's what you're talking about, that how in the world do you parcel this out when you look at these new admission caps and how, you know, what is the goal and how do you zig and zag in a different direction when, I mean, there's no way they're going to get 62,500 admissions this year. No way. I think even the president realizes that. Just saying they're trying, what he said after he was pressured by the Democrats and some other groups, he said, we're working to undo the damage of the last 4 years. So taking a swipe at Trump, saying it's going to take some time, but the work is underway. I mean, so listen, this is the challenge. Whatever this immigration agenda is, this is the thing, because there's more happening than we even realize. And part of that American Families Plan that was announced in the address to both chambers of commerce, part of that proposed deal, that $1.8 trillion, so much of that will, I guarantee, would be spent in this direction, right? So they got to move quickly, but I can't imagine that they can process all those people. I mean, how are you even finding some of these families? And like I said, and we're going to try to talk, we're not going to try. In fact, I know we're going to talk to a former Border Patrol agent either later this week or the beginning of next week, and a few other people involved in this. I've been doing some work behind the scenes and talking to some people about what is really going on from the people there that are seeing it day in and day out, right? So it's horrible, the refugee situation. I mean, it is life and death. We saw what happened in San Diego with the boat trying to come through that didn't look like the other boats and then smashed and killed 3 people. And other people were swimming for their life to get to shore, and it looked like a regular boat, but it was a boat full of illegal immigrants coming in who paid a lot of money to get smuggled across the border on our, through the water going that way. So you add all these things up together, and we have some serious humanitarian concerns. There's no question about that. All right, I got this from Howard, who is listening in Oregon. Kate, have been a big fan of the show since it first came out. That's not smoke blowing your way. I have to say that this whole refugee thing is just shameful. It's shameful that it happened in the first place. I think you've talked about it before, that if things had been done decades ago, which there were laws in place, we wouldn't find ourselves in these ridiculous situations where we look like ogres if we lock the gates, But then we're morons if we don't, because we can't even handle who's coming in and we're finding dead bodies. And you've talked about that before. I would not want to be anybody on these front lines who had to deal with the situation, because it has to be heartbreaking. And you also have to feel like at times when you're making decisions that you're heartless. What do we do? This is a crisis full blown. Well said. It is a crisis that's full blown. I mean, if you look, I saw a number. Let's just take the piece of the United States. Now we're saying that 62,000 plus. The United Nations Refugee Agency, which that is a big chunk of what they do, they say there's 25 million refugees across the globe. And guess where a lot of those people are trying to go? In a horrible situation that they're in and the state of the world. They're trying to come to the United States, a lot of those people, right? Because what do you hear? The stories is land of the free and the brave and everybody's welcome and the Statue of Liberty and all of that. But the reality is, again, what do you do when you're talking about life and death, especially for children? All right, one more. Mary in Connecticut. Kate, I'm torn about the situation with illegal immigration. It's terrible what's happened at the border. As much as I didn't like what I saw and heard about children in cages and what was going on during the Trump administration, in another way, they saw what was happening with the amounts of people that could not be processed, that were coming over and were facing terrible situations once they crossed into our world, because there was no system that was smooth to process any of the refugees and to figure out who had to go, what was happening, unless they were flat-out criminals. Otherwise, we were stuck, and we were stuck waiting and waiting, and people upon people upon people started to be crammed into facilities, especially those kids. It is a horrible place to find yourself. I can only imagine. The rising number of families at the border has to cripple some of the services. Bingo. Yeah. I mean, that's what I said. There's not enough services, meaning the things that you have to do to, you got to rely on charity. I mean, that's what's happening. Like Catholic charities are coming in. Other charities are trying to help as well, because, you know, they get dropped off and they have to go to temporary shelter. So some of these charities are running these temporary shelters. Otherwise, they would really, really be stuck. And they're being moved around to other parts of Texas, let's say, for example. And, you know, you've got these big sections of the border where people are coming over, and that has not leveled off. It's died down a little bit from the crisis of just the kids coming in. But so it's not like the number that it was in March, but still all those kids are being processed. So this is a terrible situation. The shelters that have capacity for 200 people are having 400 and 500 people and 600 people and 700 people. So thank goodness for charity, because they see that the people are on top of each other. Yeah, not going to hit that 62,000, I can tell you that, and I'm sure Joe Biden realizes the same thing. All right, this one is from Frank. He says, oof, I live in Mississippi, darling, and every time we hear anything about tornadoes or sirens or any of that, we know that you have to take cover. More and more people are getting storm shelters, because it seems like there is a rise in tornado activity in Mississippi, not like we haven't always dealt with that. I think the people who are in the business of building bunker-type facilities are probably getting rich right now. Well, if people can afford them, and what are they charging? Yeah, there's a lot of those companies. I shouldn't say. I know of a handful of them anyway. All right, coming up next, I Survive, a popular show on A&E. We're talking to the executive producer next.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits of some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It happened so fast, we all just reacted.
In a new series, brave people are coming forward to share their stories.
The bullet actually bounce right in front of my face.
Of fear.
When you have a gun in your face, your life flashes before your eyes.
Panic.
I just knew I had to take control of the situation.
Emotion.
I was very scared.
And survival.
I overtook him, got the weapon away from him.
I Survived a Crime. New series.
Wednesday, February 17th at 10 on A&E.
So one night I was sleeping on the couch. I was doing some work and I fell asleep. And I tripped on this show that scared me to death, but hooked me too. It's called I Survived a Crime, and they're 30-minute episodes, and they, I guess the good way to say it is they explore different survivor stories, they analyze what happened in it, etc., and it's fascinating. I mean, it's just absolutely fascinating. And now we have the executive producer of that A&E series, I Survived a Crime, with us. He's in a virtual green room. Michael Bryan, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, pleasure, Kate. I see that you've enjoyed the purpose of the show, which is to scare the hell out of you just before you go to bed, and that's our goal.
It did. Let me tell you, I really redid my house because of some of the things that I heard on the show. So tell me the road to coming up with I Survived a Crime. How'd this come about?
Yeah. It was some of my producing partners in my production company. We're just hanging out and, you know, kind of chatting about things. I'm sure there was a beverage or two involved, and we came up with, you know, some of the videos we'd seen where people did amazing things, and primarily were folks that were fighting back. They were, you know, they just weren't going to take it anymore, and they were just saying, I got to do what I got to do to get home to my family, and they're not going to take my stuff, and they're not going to get in my house. And so fighting back was kind of the germ of an idea. So when I took that to A&E, they said, you know, that's really a bad idea. But how about if we broaden the idea a little bit and make it people who survive? And that doesn't always mean fighting back. In fact, maybe sometimes fighting back is a dumb thing to do. So that's how the show was born, and it really became about survivor stories, however they had to survive the situation and get home to their family and loved ones.
Yeah. Was there one particular episode that just really kind of got you? I mean, they're all, when you hear, they're chilling. They are. They're chilling. And how they did survive, and then what happened, and things that they didn't think were going on behind them, or something they forgot to do, or whatever it is. Was there one that popped out at you?
You know, one of them that really sticks with me because of the way they did survive and because of the boldness of the criminal is one that we call Wrong House Buster, which is it's a young couple in Idaho Falls, and they're at home. You know, it's like 1 a.m, just kind of watching TV, checking their phones, and the door flies open. Not a big deal to them. They have a couple of roommates. So they're thinking, okay, roommate, you know, quit making a racket. And up the stairs comes this guy with a shotgun, and he's pointing it at not only the homeowner guy, but then he pivots and points it to his fiance on the couch. And then it, all hell breaks loose. He grabs the gun. They wrestle. And she's, you know, kind of curled up in a ball on the ground. When she has a moment, she breaks free, runs into the other room where she can call the cops. In the meantime, he's struggling with this guy holding on to the end of the shotgun. And then the tables kind of turn, and the survivor becomes the aggressor and basically drags the suspect down the stairs, throws him out of his house, yelling, "Wrong house, Buster." And, you know, just kind of crystallizes the whole concept of the show, which is, what are you going to do in that moment? How are you going to handle it? And, you know, with a little attitude, which we appreciated.
Yeah. What's the goal of the show? Do you hope that people see this and they're more proactive about, if this happens to you, maybe this is something to think about?
Yeah, I think it's both practical and kind of philosophical. Practically speaking, lock your door. You know, not a tough thing to do. Many burglaries, many home invasions, unlocked, open front doors. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot of expertise to just fix that little problem. And then beyond that, it's getting people to think, well, what would I do? Not like you're going to have a master plan. You know, not like, Kate, you're waking up in the morning. Okay, when that guy puts that knife to my gut, here's my plan. But just to make you more aware, you know, every survivor we talk to when offering, you know, suggestions on how somebody might survive a situation they encountered, just, you know, be aware of your surroundings, you know what's going on. Don't be oblivious. Don't be walking down the street with your pods and the music blaring and, you know, being in your own little world, because somebody may invade that little world, you know?
Yeah. How do you find the people that are the subjects for I Survived a Crime?
Well, Kate, there's this thing called the Internet. I'm not sure you've heard about it, but it's amazing. And so, you know, we just start reaching out through. We got some diggers in our production team, and you know, you can find anybody. It's kind of scary. You can find anybody you want to find. And then we reach out, and we ask if, you know, they would like to tell their story and help others understand what they went through. Some people, luckily a minority of folks, say, you know, that was probably one of the worst days of my life. I don't really want to relive that, but thanks anyway. But yeah. Luckily, most people are more than willing to talk about it, either because they want to just kind of cleanse themselves, a little closure, a little therapeutic moment, or they really do want to help people, and they want to say, look, you know, I never thought this might happen, but it did.
Is this fun for you to do? Because, I mean, you wear a lot of different hats, and you said it, how you were spitballing and came up with the idea, and then it was changed a bit by A&E. But, you know, you're also a host on Dan Abrams' program. You do a lot of things, court TV, et cetera. Is this fun for you to do?
Yeah, you know, it may sound a little bizarre to say, yeah, we're dealing with people in life-threatening situations. That's how I get my kicks. That's fun. But I think the challenge of finding, you know, and I've gotten more jaded over time. We've done 24 episodes now. And if your audience will watch the next episode or two, then we're probably going to get more. But, you know, the idea that there are unique circumstances. You know, everybody sees the convenience store stick up, and believe me, we've had a handful of those. But to be honest, they get a little boring. And so it's surprising to me to see the unique twists on some of these different stories. There's one I just found the other day that hopefully will be in the next season. This woman and her friend are at a convenience store. Okay, it seems typical. The friend is visiting. And some guy comes in to rob them. But that's not all. That's not enough for this guy. He binds them in gray duct tape, sets them on fire in the convenience store.
Oh.
It's unbelievable. Now, luckily, one of them was totally unscathed, but the other had third degree and worse burns over part of her body and up her neck. Just sicko stuff that you would never, ever imagine. And I don't think the source of this info is going to diminish anytime soon because we're using, cell phones more. Home surveillance is prevalent now. Citywide surveillance through the cops. That's all out there capturing these things. So we take that raw element, and then we tell the story.
Yeah, wow. It is fascinating. It does pull you in. That's exactly what happened with me. And I can imagine it's, here you are doing more episodes. It's pretty popular.
Yeah, it has been. And I think it's because, we all get online and we see that, look at that clip. That's great. And it is the world of short attention span theater. But to go beyond that clip, to tell the story. We had a simple story, I don't mean to minimize it, but it was a waitress in Savannah that a customer kind of cupped her cheek as he was leaving the restaurant, and she just spun and threw the guy to the ground and sort of gave him a finger wagon speech. And when we got into the interview with her, she said, I was raped, and then I was molested at a younger age, and all of that, boom, was triggered by this guy's grope. And so there's always much more to the story than what you see in that little clip.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can find it on A&E, I Survived a Crime. Michael Bryan, executive producer of that series, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Kate.
So interesting, as he said, it's who wants to tell their story, and it does make you think about, okay, what are you doing? And we look at crime, and we look at what kind of crime is on the rise. And, if you look at 2021, I was just looking at some statistics the other day, and they say American cities saw a 33% increase in homicides last year because of the pandemic, the desperation, that kind of thing. And it included, 63 of the 66 largest police jurisdictions saw increases in at least one category of violent crimes, which included homicide, rape, robbery, aggravated assaults, and so on and so forth, but 33%, so pretty high. Anyway, pretty interesting stuff to see that show on A&E, so we thank him for that, and thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.